Welcome to Escapes. I'm Erica Hemphill, and I am thrilled to invite you on this empowering journey. Join me as we explore the art of escaping self-doubt, the constraints of the 9-to-5 grind, the false realities that hold us back. We'll empower you to embrace entrepreneurship, motherhood, and co-working with your partner, and to boldly step into leadership roles that were once thought unattainable. Escapes is more than a podcast. It's a community of resilient women and men who are rewriting their stories, chasing their dreams, and smashing through glass ceilings. Together, we'll share stories of triumph, strategies for success, discuss our failures, and use insights from remarkable individuals who have paved their own paths to greatness. So join me, Erica Hemphill, as we unlock the doors to your unlimited potential. It's time to escape, empower, and embrace. Oh, and elevate. Your adventure begins now. Welcome back to Escapes. So I am here today, and we are back on our Power Couple episodes. So today it is me and my significant other.
Garland Hemphill here. Welcome back, folks. Erica does a lot more of these than I do. I'm only on once a month, so I still feel like I'm getting the hang of it, but I'm glad y'all get to hear me.
Well, we're excited because if you have been following us and listening to the podcast thus far, you got to listen to part one and part two, which was just an intro of us, how we got together, where we went, where we came from, and how we ended right back here in our hometown of Ponchatoula, Louisiana, and how ENG Design and Construction really got kicked off. So what do you want to talk about today, honey?
Well, there's a few things that we can talk about. One thing that I think a lot of people would benefit from listening to would be a conversation about taking leaps. I think we could talk about my leap from corporate to this, but I think before we go there, we should talk about your leap to start the business. That's pretty spectacular, to start this business by yourself. And let's face it, it's a man's industry traditionally.
Yeah, I've always been the person, like, if you listen to my intro about me, to push like the norms. So I really always loved houses and I loved doing that aspect of it and hours online. But when it really came down to it, I really didn't know how to get things started. So I remember I started doing a lot of research on just how to start a business, what that looked like, and where it was going. And I needed to know what the financial part was going to be, right? Because we had your backing, you had a corporate job, so we were secure financially, like in our own responsibilities, like paying the bills and the house and Kipton and all those things. But the financial part of actually like getting it started, the insurance and getting the EIN number. So that was very scary for me.
I remember that it wasn't easy to do. Everybody thinks starting a business is easy. It was obvious. Like, we had to have certain accounts, certain insurances. I mean,
In all reality, most people don't do it that way. So there's coaching that goes along with that, like to open up all those accounts. But I knew that I needed it separated like that just for me because I'm so organized and I wanted to make sure that money that was coming in for client draws and bills was not going to be utilized as money that we needed to operate the business. So I do think that I had that leg up, but I think that really came from my mom owning businesses before.
Right. We both had some sort of business background going on, obviously.
Came from working for other businesses along the way that did not have separate accounts. And as I worked for them, I got to see how they transferred money from one account to another, and that was not working functionally.
As you were talking, one of the things that I wanted to ask you was, can you think of some ways that starting this business by yourself as a female, can you think of some specific examples that it helped you? And can you think of some examples of maybe when it wasn't so beneficial? Maybe somebody took advantage of you or something?
I can remember, and look, I'm just going to be transparent. I said I was going to be very raw on here. I remember the first day that I walked into Pine Grove, I had nothing.
What is Pine Grove?
Pine Grove is a lighting company in Covington that a lot of builders use around here. And I'll never forget, I asked them if I could set up an account because I was going to start building houses. And this lady looked at me like I grew 10 heads and she told me, no. And I said, So y'all don't have accounts for builders? I already knew the answer. Yes, they did. But she didn't want to, right? They didn't have the respect for me, or did they? She didn't even want to sit down and say, well, look, we can give you a small line of credit or a 30-day net, and we'll help you get started, and we'll see where the relationship goes. The answer was just no. And I remembered, and here we are 5 years later, and I've never walked back into that business ever again, and I don't buy anything from them.
Well, that's something that I learned in the corporate world, that you never know. Everyone is a potential customer. Everyone you meet out on the streets. So we have to keep that in mind. I've been thinking of a situation that we can laugh about today. We laughed about it then, but I remember when you had your first set of plans and you needed to take them to the lumber yard and get them bid out.
I don't remember.
Come on. You told me that you went in there and I don't even know if you had an account there yet. And there was a line of people at the counter, and you said you wanted to get these plans bid out. You wanted to get a takeoff.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that's going to take some weeks. Yeah. And you were like, you don't have that much time. And then what happened?
I don't really remember this conversation.
Some older gentleman came and said, I'll help you. Come over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look, there's definitely been those moments, right?
She got a little help that I wouldn't have got if I was standing in line. Let's just say that.
Look, there's definitely been some moments, but
there have been moments where being a female is hell, that's for sure.
But I do also know that I will never forget this either, and I think this is just a humbling experience for me. I remember also walking into Gabriel's, and I had only met Mr. Bob one time, I think, and I wanted to open up an account, and he was so warm welcoming then, and he still is very warm welcoming to us now. And I think that the more I got involved and the more I asked the questions, like, I don't know, please teach me, people realized that I was more driven than what they probably gave me credit for, that I was the first person to raise my hand and say, I don't know that, or I don't understand. And so, like you said, taking that leap to have other people trust me enough to really sit back and learn. And I've learned so much from people like Mr. Bob and Brandon Shane's back at our insurance company, and people that have really like kind of taken us under their wing and really helped.
Right.
But with saying that, like, I laughed at that statement about, oh, I didn't know. But then there were also times where I can remember coming home and just looking at you and saying, what am I doing? Like,
I can't remember the specific situations, and your memory is always better than mine, but there were times where you knew what you were talking about and you would call and get on the phone with people and they just assumed that you were a female that you didn't know what you were talking about.
Oh yeah. There was lots of that. Well, look, let's face the reality. Even up until 3 weeks ago, I had a client that still sat at my table and asked me why they should go with me because I only had 5 years of experience instead of someone that had 30 years of experience. So I think that it goes back to even when you were hired at Waste Management, we're very young. And so no matter what anybody says, there's still that little red flag that comes up that people have a concern.
Yeah.
Do we really know what we're doing? And I've actually, it was funny, on another podcast that I recorded this morning, I even made a reference to something similar like that. And I said, I've actually gotten more cocky when I've answered that question. And I don't know if I really should, or maybe I should tone myself down some, but that's just my personality, because what kind of salesperson or what kind of builder would I be if I said that I didn't have enough experience? I think I told the client somewhere along the lines of, I can tell you that I know what I do, what my team does, and what my subcontractors produce. And I know what my expectations are. And I know they're more than what anybody at 30 years is expecting.
Right. So trying to get back to center on talking about taking leaps, and you took that leap. I supported you taking the leap to start the business.
Do you remember we drained our 401k?
Yeah, I had a corporate job. So I had a corporate 401k set up. And I think it, I mean, I can't remember how old I was at the time, but I had about 22,000 in there, and I pretty much just closed it out and handed it to you to open the business.
Oh, he loves me.
Yeah. I don't always 100% agree with Erica, but I don't doubt her. I know that she, I have a lot of faith and trust that she knows what she's doing. I remember the first thing that I kind of questioned was Erica spent $7,000 having a website built, and we didn't even have our first client yet. I was like, whoa, 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 that's putting the cart in front of the horse.
And what'd I tell you?
That it was all about branding. It was about building the brand. And it was very true. I saw that early on because early on we started bidding some jobs that we didn't always get because, let's face it, people want to brag about who's building their house. So the brand is very important.
I do believe that my mom taught me that because she had owned businesses, started and owned businesses, and it was always about branding and what you want people to know that you offer and that you're selling and the product that you provide. And I learned very early on that I did not want to be a spec builder. I didn't want to be a pre-sale builder. I wanted to really niche into the custom home building industry here in our community and surrounding areas. And I remember, he's not lying, I had worked with a marketing company when I was at the oil and gas firm. And I contacted her and she was based out of Lafayette. And when I told her what I wanted to do, she was a young entrepreneur too. And she was like, you're on the right track. Branding is everything. And I don't think we ever looked back after that. We still do a lot of branding for ourselves to this day, everything. What stressors have I brought on to you by starting this business?
What stressors have you brought on to me?
Or us? You have to be honest. Because there, I know there has been some.
I mean, it's a business. Like, you got to understand, I went to the Sam Walton College of Business. I didn't graduate from there, but I went there. It was a very good business school, University of Arkansas. And then I went to work as a garbage man at Waste Management. And one thing I learned after my years of being there was everything's a business, even if it's trash. I left there and went to a liquid waste industry. Even, you know, a lot of these places people would look down on, you know, the category of work that we were doing, but they were all businesses. It was all about revenue and expenses and profit. It's all business. So at the end of the day, I would say it's easier to let down a boss in the corporate world than it is to let down your wife. So I guess the stressors would be the pressure to make sure that I perform the best that I can. It's not always satisfactory to the boss, but it's always the best that I can. So I would say that's the biggest pressure.
I love you.
Yeah, you snuck that question in on me.
I feel like, but I equally bring stressors to you.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that the stressors you bring to me is that you never say no. Oh, we're going to remodel something in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, 2 hours away. We need to do it as soon as possible. Yeah, we can do that. Well, we becomes me. And we get it done.
Hey.
We get it done. We get it done. So.
And then do you love me after?
I do. And I take pride in our ability to accomplish things. Like, you kind of reach for the stars and then I drive the ship to get us to the stars. Like, that's really.
I'm a good co-pilot.
Yeah, you don't sleep because I won't let you. I don't like it when somebody rides in the passenger seat and they want to take a nap. I'll say that Erica does not take a nap when I'm driving. And it might be because I hit the braille every now and then.
He's a horrible driver. I don't know how he ever drove for Waste Management.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, yeah.
I was professional. I'm still professional.
And that word right there is what I really like. Garland is very direct, and sometimes that's taken differently from different people. But your heart is so humbling.
I would like the word honest. And too often, honest comes across as direct.
Well, that's because everybody wants everything sugarcoated and everybody has to have a trophy. That's the world that we live in right now. Let's be honest. And you and I are not like that. When we do something, we're doing it to satisfy the needs of our customers or our clients, but then also to turn around and satisfy ourselves because we have expectations of ourselves too. But when you use the word professionalism, I think that when we started branding ourselves, we wanted to brand ourselves as a professional in our industry. And we wanted everybody around us to know like what our story was, where we came from, that neither one of us actually came from the construction industry. That's just where we saw a need. And we wanted to make sure we filled that void for those clients, which was all about taking the leap and the risk of doing it.
Right. And when I hear you talking about, you know, this industry not being exactly where we came from, we both take pride in learning from mistakes. If we made a mistake, we didn't make it twice. And that's still to this day.
Accountability for it. Look, our clients ask us things all the time, and I can't say, look, I'm more, and look, any of my current clients or previous clients or upcoming clients, here's your little checkbox. I am more the one to ask Garland, are they in warranty? Was this something that we did? Is it something that should have been preventable? I have like these same questions that I ask ourselves because we don't want to make the same mistake again. And if we made a mistake, we want to make it right. But I can't make everybody else's mistakes right all the time. That's part of being a leader. That's part of being accountable for the work that we do and that professionalism, I believe.
Right. So we talked about your leap. And my leap from the corporate world was even assisted, you know, like I kind of assisted you with your leap.
I was petrified. If I'm honest with myself, I was petrified.
So Erica, I had overheard or knew that you had had conversations. People had referred project managers to you.
I had an interview with someone.
Right. Our E&G Designs and Construction was growing to the point that Erica could really use some help running some projects because she was running everything by herself for, what, 2 or 3 years at that point?
2.5 years.
And it was like the first year we built 2 houses, the next year we built 4, and the next year we're going to build 8. And just to do everything that goes into it on the backside and out in the job site is...
And just to put that in perspective, you were going from a 0 revenue company to a $2 million revenue company in 2 years.
Yeah. So the business growing, Erica's looking for somebody. And at that time, I had a 6-figure job with a company truck, company gas card. The only thing that I didn't like about it was the schedule. But the employees respected me. I liked them. Still keep in contact with a lot of them. You know, everybody that ever worked for me, I always wanted the best for them. I can't even go without saying this. I can remember one young man giving me his 2-week notice, and like I almost clapped for him. And he thought I was being sarcastic, but no, I was genuinely happy for him that he was telling me that he had found something a lot better. You know, it was unfortunate that I couldn't provide for him what was better in his mind, what he was looking for. And I was genuinely happy for him. And the reason was is because he started working with me when he was 21 and he was leaving at 23. And I had started at Waste Management at 21. I stayed there 8 years instead of just 2. But for me, I was moving up. So in my mind, I was really happy for this kid that he was moving up. So
that he was taking his leap.
Yeah, he was taking his leap. And so basically, my leap was assisted by, I want to say, COVID.
Yeah, for sure. Do you remember the afternoon that you came home and told me that they were coming in town? Corporate was coming in town and that you had heard that they were going to be offering some severance packages to some of your drivers.
To be honest, our company had just acquired another local branch within 30 minutes of my branch. I knew that we didn't need 2 branch managers in the same city. But with all the experience that I had, I didn't really think that that package was coming to me. In the same token, it was a blessing because I really wanted to work with E&G. I'd already told you, there's not anybody that you're going to be able to hire that's going to be as invested as me that actually cares. And another one of our fears is whoever you hired, you might have taught them everything E&G had, and then they might have turned around and opened something else up in the same town and become a competitor. So
I just remember that night, like you said, whenever you came home and told me that, I remember I told you, well, what if you go tomorrow and offer for you to be on the severance package plan? Because you weren't sure. You didn't know if they were coming to do that at first for you, which they didn't really even tell you that. You went and approached them and said, would y'all be interested in offering me a severance package?
Right. So.
And I was not ready for the answer.
Yeah, I was ready. I basically negotiated for it at work and then called Erica and said, hey, it's done. And at that point, having a company vehicle, I had to get one of my coworkers to drive me home. And then we went to the car dealership and had to buy.
Next day.
Yeah, we had to trade it in your car, got me a truck, and got you a car.
And I think at that point, it was when he originally called me and you were still in Fort Allen, I remember getting off the phone and
you were freaking out about insurance.
I was freaking out about insurance. It wasn't necessarily about him coming on. I was ecstatic about that because he was right. Garland was right. No one was going to invest in our company the way he was going to invest in our company. And he had been there along the ride for the last 2 years of seeing how much I was putting in and the work and the hours. And I knew that he would appreciate that I needed some help. But when I hung up the phone, I do remember my heart dropping because I was like, holy cow, now what? Not what were we going to do, but like, now what? Okay, yes. Literally the next morning, I remember we dropped the kids off at school. And it was like, I mean, they were still going to school at that point. It was like only a month before they got sent home. And I remember saying, okay, we've got to go get you a truck tomorrow. And we've got to go and go look into insurance to see how much that was going to cost. It almost became a checklist that we had to.
Yeah, you were running the numbers. What type of revenue did we have coming in? How long could we make it if we didn't get any new jobs and things like that?
Yeah, because we didn't know what was going to happen through COVID. We really didn't know. But what we were blessed with is that although COVID shut everything down because the construction industry happens outside, we really did not see a downfall. We just had to learn how to work from home because then our kids were at home.
Yeah, and it's hard to remember the details of that. But basically, like I said, my leave wasn't totally premeditated, but it was aided. It was assisted. But yours was very well planned out. But ultimately, what made both leaps successful? We were dedicated to them. We made a plan, we focused on it, and we wouldn't let them fail.
And I think we confirmed to each other when it was just us by ourselves, honestly, if we do it and it fails, we can both go back to work. Like if it ultimately fails and we have to shut the doors down and just say the shit didn't work, then we could both go back to work.
Yeah.
So now I look at it and I think to myself, what keeps us driving? What keeps this ship driving?
Is that a trick question?
No.
What keeps this ship driving?
Yeah. We're in a market right now where we're at 8%.
Well, this year has been sad because it's a reality that the success or failure of our business this year has not been 100% directly related to the quality of service that we provide to our clients. We had clients that were ready to sign on the line and let us build their custom homes, and they had to walk away because of interest rates.
Right.
So that's a hard pill to swallow. So I would say that you have led the motivation behind 2023 as far as the coaching that you've been getting on the backside and then turning around and coaching us as a team, motivating us. I mean, there's a lot of things that we have in the works for our future, the near future and the long-term future, that we're still set up for success. Could it change next week? God only knows.
Yeah, that's true. I think that for me, And with everybody that's listening, I think that if you're an entrepreneur, when you are just a God-given, he gave you the drive to be a risk taker. And for me, it is that in slower times, I saw it coming and I started preparing well over a year ago, almost a year and a half ago, when interest rates were so good and we were booming. I kept telling myself, we need to start really trying to think about what we're going to do and how we're going to pivot when this market changes. Because I can also tell you that when the market started to change, what started happening with us? Everybody that was around us started saying, when is Garland going back to work? When are y'all going to make it? When is he going to find something else?
We told you you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Right. We told you that y'all shouldn't have both jumped in. And we both just looked at each other, grabbed each other's hands and said,
"No,
screw that. We're not going to go back to work. We're going to have enough cushion in our checking accounts that if it falls or if we have a slow time, that we're going to be able to just sit back and focus on our family and focus on ourselves and see where we're going to go forward from there." But
yeah, you're right. It didn't just miraculously show up. You didn't just say one day, "I'm going to save some money." Like, you knew that it was good and you put money away. And we also invested money in other businesses. We're currently investing in new businesses that haven't even launched yet.
Right.
Because we pay attention to what other people are doing. I've always done that. You know, I would advise anybody that's young that doesn't know what they want to do to look at the people that are living the life, the type of life that you think you want to live, and watch what they do and how they do it. You can just observe it out there. If you open your eyes and ears, the information is there.
I think that you have to expand your, you can look at it two ways. Either expand your circle of friends and who you sit at the table with, or you have to remove people from your table to have new seats for new mentors and new investors.
It's funny because this goes way back before I even met you. I can remember riding the school bus in high school and being about 15 and lived in a poor town in Missouri and telling everybody that I wasn't riding the school bus next year. And they all laughed at me. They're like, "Yeah, right. We all said that." I was like, "No, I'm saving up my money and I'm going to buy a car and I'm not riding this stinking school bus no more." And like I said, they didn't think it could be done. And sure enough, I worked at Walmart. I had a ride lawnmower and cut grass. I saved up money. I bought an old vehicle for $800 and I never rode that school bus the next year. And that's just a small example of not taking no for an answer. Like when I went to work at Waste Management, I wanted to be a manager and they told me no. I started driving the garbage trucks and I used to work so hard, do whatever the bosses told me. And people were like, "Why are you working so hard? You're trying to show us up." And no, I had an idea in my mind from the time I got there that I was working to be a manager. And with that mindset, it happened. So I say that not to brag about myself, but to motivate whoever's out there listening that whatever you put your mind to, it's going to happen. It can happen. It might not be on your timeline, but it can happen. Just plan for it and make it happen.
I think anybody that knows me knows that I don't like the word no. And if somebody tells me that it can't be done, then I find a way. The same way that I loved in 2008 when I had you and my family say, "You cannot buy this house. You're not going to be able to afford it."
Yeah, I didn't think so. Our friends had bought a house in this neighborhood and you went to see their house and there was a house for sale five houses down and you called me and you're like, "Hey, when you get off of work, you need to come look at this house. When are we coming to look at it?" I'm like, "Huh?" And then when I rode by there at night and the landscape lighting was shooting up the crepe myrtles, it was beautiful. Not big, but it was very nice. Well landscaped, very nice looking home. And I was like, "Babe, if you—"
He always supported. He did say, "I don't think we can.
I don't think we can afford it. But if you go to the bank and they say that we can afford it, let's do it."
And what happened?
Mr. Rick.
Mr. Rick Sedberry.
Rick Sedberry took care of us, got us in that house.
He showed us a way that we could afford to do a rural development loan, 0% down, 100% financing, because I would not accept no. And I think that when I think of entrepreneurs and small business owners that want to start something and do something, it's the fear that holds you back because
right. I was fearful. I was like, oh, we can't afford that. You weren't fearful. You were like, well, just call the bank. You probably didn't just call Rick.
No, I think I called two or three.
You probably called everybody in town.
I feel like there has to be more positive people in the world to push people to say, if someone tells you no, that doesn't mean that's the final answer. It just means that that particular person, that particular lender, that particular job, that particular whatever it is, they just couldn't get you there. And now I look at where we are in our marriage, where we are with our business, where we are with our kids, where we are with our community. I don't get told no a lot. It's more or less, Erica, let me see what I can do. Or, hey, come sit down with me and let's sit down and talk about these things. And that's what I want. That's what I wanted. I wanted to have that respect. And I know that there are people out there that are fearful of being told no. I just look at no, like that's a challenge. Like, and anybody that knows me knows that I am competitive. And competitive means figuring out a way to do it. I think it was the same nervousness for you when I said I wanted to buy the condo. You wanted it, but I think you were even still a little nervous.
Yeah. I don't know how deep you want to go into that, but Erica's always loved the beach, loved the water. And she just started looking at condos, like, how are we going to afford this? You know what it was? Is somebody put a Facebook post up, one of our friends, about a particular loan program that they were able to use. And this particular lender helped them buy a vacation property. And we've always wanted one. And once again, I didn't think we could get one. But Erica saw that post and started making phone calls to find out what was it going to take, what type of loan, how much money, how are we going to do it. And
here we go. I suckered him in. Yeah. We bought the condo. Then you had to do all this work. And we'll get into that on another podcast.
Yeah,
but
we'll talk about the condo.
The condo is definitely something that we'll talk about. It is strings to my heart. But it also is passive income. And that's another.
It's a whole nother business that we have.
It is. Investing in properties is a whole nother business that we have.
That other people want to get into and want to know more about. And that's one reason why it's a good idea to talk about it as more of an episode. Is the rental property and what we've learned, you know, we didn't do everything right.
No. I learned just last week that we should have done something different. Yeah. So to anybody out there that's listening, everything is always changing and evolving.
Well, you learned something different because you were speaking to somebody else that had more knowledge.
More knowledge. Again, sitting at the table and removing or pulling out an additional chair to ask someone else to sit at the table. What is one thing that you love about working together?
I just love the flexibility.
Dang, I thought you were going to say me. Oh.
That wasn't written down on a cue card anywhere. I can't believe she hasn't learned not to. I can't be set up. I answer questions the way I answer.
No, okay. All jokes aside, seriously, what is one thing that you love about working side by side?
It's just a team. I mean, it's the work flexibility, the work-life balance that we get by working together. I don't know. People think that we have flexibility to do whatever we want all day, but to be honest, there's no groceries in the fridge and we need to make it to the grocery store tonight and it's 3:15.
I'm going to get that Walmart delivery.
We're going to get a Walmart.
It's going to be perfectly fine.
Right.
No.
And there's laundry that needs to be put up. So
I'm not doing that.
Flexibility doesn't mean that we sit around and do nothing because that's what we want to do. It's just flexibility to work on what we choose as a priority to work on. And I think that's what we both like about working for ourselves. If you thought about it, that's probably the real reason why you couldn't go work for somebody else, because it's hard for me and you now to be dictated what is a priority in our day, because we already know what's a priority for ENG tomorrow.
My favorite thing about working with you, and for everybody that
it's
knows
my good us, looks.
Well, you are good looking. But one of my favorite things is that I always know in my stressful moments, because I am that goal-oriented dreamer, that I have your support. You might be nervous, but if you don't have that one person that's constantly in your corner really telling you, like, I know you can do this, or it's almost like an approval. It truly is like being a kid. I want somebody, if you're the boss of a company, who do you answer to? Like, who do you get your approval from? So to work with my husband and my partner that's invested in ENG just as much as I am, when I come up with an idea, or if I want to do something, or if I want to start a podcast, to have that approval and that support system, I don't know how I can explain that to anybody what that feeling feels like. He's not smirking or anything, folks. Like,
I'm just soaking it all in. I'm soaking it all in.
I love the time management flexibility that I have, but in the same token, when I really analyze what I love working about with you, is that you truly are my biggest supporter. Yeah. I think I have more accountability now that I have my business coach and my one-on-one coach. I don't think that they give me zero slack.
Right. Well, here's the deal. There's no reason for me not to support you. You wanted to get a house, and we got it. And we lived there for 8 years. We sold it. We made 10 grand on it, a lot of tax write-offs, moved into a bigger house, sold it, made more money. Like, we bought a condo because you wanted to buy a condo. Now it pays for itself in rent. It's gained hundreds of thousands of dollars in equity. So you have given me reasons to wholeheartedly support you, even though your ideas are
crazy.
Shooting for the stars, are definitely shooting for the stars. Like, this podcast, you didn't have to ask my permission. I didn't know why you wanted to do it. I really didn't. I couldn't even relate to it. Never thought I was going to really be on it. Then you come and tell me that I've got an episode once a month, and now I'm sitting here talking. So I'm with you, babe, whatever you want to do.
I think for me, we have a beautiful why of why we do what we do. Obviously, our family and our kids are our biggest why. And I'm probably going to make Garland choke up, but like, I want to show our kids that nothing is out of their reach.
Right.
If they can dream it, then they can have it.
That's exactly right.
And they might fail, but if they fail, they need to fail forward, and that we'll be there to help them get up. But I want to be their biggest supporter and cheerleader to let them know that we didn't look back on our life at this moment in time and have any regrets.
Right.
So with that, what's your final kicker for today?
Don't let anybody tell you no. That's it. Don't let anybody tell you no. Take that leap. Obviously, you need a little bit of support. You know, I'm not telling anybody to
go quit their job.
Go quit their job, because I would tell you not to quit your job without a plan, without something else lined up. So, yeah, exactly. Find that person that supports you. Make that plan. Don't let anybody tell you no, and you can do it. That's what I would say.
Well, guys, today is the day that we say yes, that we are going to take that chance and take that risk on ourselves. And we are going to say yes to investing in ourselves and in our dreams. So thank you for escaping with us today. We hope that this hour has given you a little bit of insight on why we are who we are and where we are, and our leap of faith and where it has actually taken us. So once again, thanks for tuning in, and we hope to see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this exhilarating episode of Escapes. We hope that you've been inspired, empowered, and ready to embark on your own journey. The power to escape and redefine is within you. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Escapes to help us reach more incredible women and men like you. You can also follow me on Facebook at ENG Designs and Construction and Instagram at Build with ENG. Stay tuned for more amazing stories, insights, and strategies in our upcoming episodes. Together, we'll rewrite the scripts of our unknown possibilities. Until next time, this is Erica Hemphill from Escapes. Your adventure continues, and we can't wait to be a part of it. Until next time, continue to embrace, empower, and elevate.